On this week's Talking with Topher, the good could outweigh the bad 1,000,000 to 1, and people are still going to remember me for the shit I've done. And that's the truth. And that's Jelly Roll. I think people are very stupid in America. Why do you think they're still pushing boosters today? Because somebody's still getting paid. And now let's get into episode 199. What is happening, TWT fans? It is so good to be back on this January 25th, 2024, and I'm so glad that you're all back for some more. Before I get into anything today, let me start off the way I always do, by saying thank you. Thank you to all my subscribers and to all the new subscribers. I greatly appreciate all of you. Of course, if you're new or swinging by or just checking it out for the first time, remember to hit that subscribe button, all right? It is what keeps the podcast going. It's what keeps me coming back week after week, and it's free for you. So just click, all right? And then, of course, if you want your opportunity to be on Talking with Topher with me, T-A-L-K-I-N with Topher at gmail.com. That's Talking with Topher at gmail.com. That's the official email of the podcast. Send an audio, video, or type it out, but send it to the official email of the podcast, T-A-L-K-I-N with Topher at gmail.com. And, of course, don't forget about the Linktree link. It's right here at the bottom of the screen, but it's easily accessible in the description below the video. Copy and share. Spread this thing around. Help me make the podcast bigger. And of course, you can get everything TWT just by clicking that link. It's going to give you access to all platforms, all social media. So go follow, subscribe, and watch some more. All right. And now with all that out of the way, I've got some exciting news. Yes. And this is just podcasting world. So I'm going to tear down that fourth wall for you. And I am going to let everybody know right now. Yes, you are watching another solo podcast with just me. But my guests will be coming, all right? I got some exciting guests lined up. I got some guests that I haven't spoken to lined up. I got repeat guests, and I have an amazing, amazing guest for all of you for episode 200. I am very excited to have made it this far in podcasting. I just keep pushing through. I don't care about numbers. I don't care about monetization. I will say that this was my absolute last five-year plan. And I know you're probably like, what are you talking about? You said you were done with five-year plans. You're not making any five-year plans, and you're absolutely correct. But I forgot. This was my last one. I started this. Episode 208 will be the end of 4 for me, and episode 209 will be the beginning of 5. Now, do I think that this is going to end after 5? I don't. So this is the end of my five-year plans. I haven't made any sense. I'm not going to make any right now. The future is looking a little bleak. I'll be honest with you. I've never seen anything like this at one time. And I think all of us are seeing an uptick in war right now. I know that for a fact that we just bombed Iran twice, it was two different times, multiple bombs dropped on Iran. And it's the Hutamas, regime, I think. But I'm bad with names. I'm bad with areas. I'm bad with geographical. I'm bad with everything, everybody. But I'll tell you, ever since I've gotten off of alcohol and life has been moving forward for the last 7 years, I've been more right than wrong. And I don't know if I like that, because everything I'm right about is really, it's not good. It's not good, you know, the crash of our economy, the fact that you needed to take care of yourself and get your finances in order to make sure you make it through all of this horrible shit that's going on, just so you can survive today. And then, of course, the vaccinations and COVID in general, how it was just another disease and it was just a virus and it was just, you know, it was lab made. And I do believe that they were preparing all of this stuff because they were making this in a lab. And then they just got to quickly fire it off because they already had it in the works. They planned all of this. They actually probably thought that this was going to be something way worse than what it was, because they didn't know which one escaped. I do believe that. This is not a conspiracy. This is actual fact that these people are designing these things, and I think they were hoping that something more aggressive got out, which is why they did what they did to all of us. I don't know, maybe they weren't hoping that something more aggressive got out, but I bet you they were like, oh shit, which one was it? And then when they found out which one it was, they were like, okay, we've already got something in the works to get this figured out, so we should be able to do this and it should be fine, because that wasn't the one we thought got out. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, so 5-year plans are dead for me. This is it. The podcast is the last one, and we'll see where it takes us. I'm very excited for episode 200. I'm so excited to have so many of you involved in the podcast, commenting and all of this. It's just an absolute, it's an honor, really. I put this thing up, I do what I do, and people are tuning in, and that's just a great feeling. It's a great feeling. It shows that the work that I'm putting in is worth it to some of you out there. So it just makes me so happy to continue this on. But the story that I had today was very sobering for me. You know, what's going on is you know, I was told by somebody that, you know, they're dealing with somebody, unfortunately, falling off, or getting back on the wagon, I should say. But no. The wagon is sobriety, right? I don't fucking remember. I don't know if I'm on the wagon or off of it. All I know is I'm not drinking, right? So, but yeah, so I was told that, unfortunately, somebody I know has somebody that is drinking again, all right? And they were telling me the story, and I was like, oh my God, dude, like, I'm hearing this, and it's very sobering. So this person was off of alcohol for a couple of years, doing really well, and hit some rough patches. Now, the thing about rough patches is we all have them. We all go through this, and you have to really dig deep into yourself. I've been doing it myself. I was actually in the middle of thinking about how my sobriety is doing so well, but it's doing so well, so why am I continuing it, right? Because I'm doing good. I'm doing very good. I'm very excited for where I'm at today, but still that evil thought of drinking creeps back in, and it goes, hey, everything's going really well, so why can't I drink, right? What's it going to hurt? What is it going to hurt? Well, it's going to hurt everything. You have to keep that in the back of your mind as well, so that it stays on top of the other one. That's how I try to organize my thoughts, I guess. I don't know if we can actually do that, but I feel like we can. We have control over our thoughts. We have control over what thoughts we act upon. You do have that self-control. People just choose not to utilize it, which is actually sad, which is why you have people doing the things that they're doing today, like that asshole that goes into a hibachi restaurant and kills a 22-year-old. And then, of course, they, I believe, killed that shooter. And I only bring this up vaguely because of the simple fact that I'm sick of the news putting their names in there. The victims is fine. You can put the victims in. You can put that it was a shooting. You can talk about anything. But to give those people any limelight is absolutely, positively disgusting today. There's no need of it. There's no reason for it. Their name should never be mentioned because why? Because we all know that that's the one thing that they want. They want that recollection. They want their name mentioned. They want this. And the news gives it to them every single time. Puts their name out there, puts their picture out there, talks about their past and their story and everything else. And I feel like that's absolutely wrong. So I'm listening to what he's telling me. He's telling me that, you know, the person is drinking again. They were hiding it. And then when they were talking to, when the person was talking to another family member, I'm trying to be as vague as possible with this. And this is how, you know, if you want to tell somebody else's story, this is how it should go. You want to be as vague as possible. You want to leave out names and people connections and stuff like that. But you want to get to the story, which I'm not getting to right now because I'm digressing. But so what happened was they were told one thing, which was the absolute truth, right? Drinking again. I'm hiding it. I'm doing this. You know, I'm sorry. I lied to you. Stuff like that. All these things are coming out. And then it turns to the other family member and tells almost the same story, leaving some facts out, which then that person told me, well, now I feel like they're doing the same thing to this person that they did to me in the beginning, which was left out facts and lied about what they were doing. And I looked at this person and I said, look, not for nothing, man. I say this all the time, and I hold it to be true. Lying leads back to drinking. So any form of lying, lying to yourself, lying to others, and hiding things, that all leads back to drinking, which is why it's so true that this person is drinking again, because there was a thought that it wasn't happening. But it's definitely happening. All the same patterns that they point out, the hostility, the pulling away. You know, this person has been trying to communicate with this other person that's back on the wagon or drinking again, however you want to put it. And this person said, well, I don't have that much to talk to you about. And the other person's like, well, that's ridiculous. What do you mean? Like, we talk about everything. And that's part of the drinking pattern, is you are always pulling away from everybody who's trying to help you. You are always hiding things from them. You are going to tell tall tales. Why? Because the drinking has become the priority again. And when the drinking becomes the priority, nothing else matters. People's feelings don't matter. What you tell people doesn't matter to you. And you don't care about the ramifications. Excuse me. You don't care about the ramifications of your lies. Because why? Because when the lie is over, you get to move away from that person, hide yourself, and start doing what you want to do, which is drink again. So all of the key signs of the sobriety breaking down and disappearing are all there. And when we were done talking, all the thoughts that I had about drinking again, about being in a good space, so it should be okay if I start doing it again, it all went away. It was like I was back in AA. And somebody was up on the stand telling their story, and their story touched me in a way where I was capable of realizing that what I was thinking and what I was going through was not as bad as what that person was going through, but it was also the same thing that that person was going through, except the difference was is I chose not to act upon it. And because I heard this story, because I heard of somebody else going through all of these problems and getting back on the wagon, I chose to take the thoughts that I was having and suppress them again and allow the good thoughts and the sobering thoughts to rise above those drinking thoughts and squish them back down. It was absolutely 100% sobering for me. And I wanted to share that with all of you because this happens to all of us. Lying leads back to drinking. If you are hiding yourself from anybody, especially your loved ones, you are on a bad path. And it doesn't matter what you're lying about. It will always, always lead you back to your addiction. Always. So if there was anything I could get, if there was any message that I could get out to everybody out there today, is that this happens to all of us. You are not alone, but you need to be able to talk to somebody about what is going on if you want to stay on the right path. And talking to people, hearing other people's stories, and realizing that we're all in the same battle, it's just we all deal with it very differently. So hearing that the other day really, really brought me back down to earth. And I was like, Jesus Christ, man. I mean, you just told me every single thing that is so true to addiction about getting back on your addiction. I mean, all the signs were just there, every single one of them. So really, really eye-opening, really enlightening, and I was very, very happy to hear that because, like I said, it changed the way I was thinking. And we need that from time to time. So maybe, you know, maybe having a meeting every now and then is probably not a bad thing. Maybe I do need it, but I don't know. I probably should be in therapy still, but I'm not doing that either. You know what I mean? But that it's life. On the path of addiction, right? Because right now I think it's very prominent, right? We're going through, well, it's pretty interesting to me that right now it's winter and everybody's like, oh, I got the winter blues, you know, the sky's gray, the nights, everything's short. And it's actually the opposite. You know, right now the days are getting longer. The cold is here and it's gray and it's gloomy, but in actuality, the days are getting longer, right? The first day of winter is the winter solaris, something like that. And, that is the shortest day of the year. And every day after that is longer. And then summer is the longest day of the year. And after that, it gets shorter. So when people say that they're depressed during the winter because of seasonal depression, yes, it can happen. This is true. You're not getting enough sunlight. But in actuality, every day is getting longer. So therefore, it's getting brighter and it's more exciting. So try and think of it that way instead of thinking of it in a negative way. Because right now, every day is getting longer. The sun is coming up earlier. Look at it that way, all right? Try not to look at the winter as this depressing thing and try to remember that every day is getting brighter, every day is getting longer, and we're that much closer to the warmth coming, you know? And that's exciting, and we should be excited for that, and you should be taking your vitamin D, okay? Everybody is vitamin D deficient. For the most part, I do believe it's a very, very high percentage of people that are still vitamin D deficient, and it's not a vitamin. It is a hormone, so you do have to be careful with it, but if you can, go and get your vitamin D tested and then adjust it, and you will see a dramatic change in your mood and everything in you when you get vitamin D adjusted and corrected and you get a good amount in your body, you will find that it's totally different. You don't get the seasonal depression that you think you're getting because now you're pumping your system full of that hormone, vitamin D. And I'll tell you what I take. I take, 4,000, IOUs or IUs or whatever the fuck it is. I take 4,000 of those in the vitamin D, and then I take a vitamin D3, which is, I believe, 1,000 milligrams as well. So it's about 4,000 to 5,000 IOUs. Is it? It's not an IOU. IUOs? I don't know. Whatever it is. I take 5,000 of them a day. A day, everybody. So I'm constantly pumping. And I do this summer, winter, spring, fall, all year. All year. I am taking vitamin D. I am taking that hormone D because I know about the deficiencies that we all have in it, especially living here in New England. We don't get as much sunlight as we should, and people who can't absorb the sunlight should definitely be taking that hormone, vitamin D, okay? So I just want to kind of change the way everybody thinks about the winter and seasonal depression. You don't have to be depressed in a particular season if you correct what you're missing in your body. It will adjust itself and you won't get what everybody is calling seasonal depression. I do believe that. I do believe you can change these things and correct them. Another thing I wanted to talk about with addiction is that a lot of people feel comfort in being at the bottom of the hill. Because I look at addiction this way, right? So you're at the bottom of a hill and there's a big old rock in front of you. And that rock is addiction. And that hill is what you need to get up and over to accomplish suppressing and defeating your addiction, right? So you got to get that rock up that hill. And it's very, very difficult to start at the bottom, right? That's day one sobriety. And that's where you start pushing. And then you get up the hill and you're a quarter of the way up that hill and that rock is just sitting there. It's just sitting there. And you got to get some more momentum and you got to get people behind you and you got to have some help getting that rock a little bit further up the hill. And as you do that, you get closer and closer to the top of the hill, right? And I'm not saying that I'm at the top or I've gotten over the hump of the hill. But what I'm saying is that I keep holding that rock right where it is. I make it a little bit further and I hold that rock right there. And I keep holding my addiction in front of me and looking at it and understanding it. And the longer I do that, the easier it gets to push the rock up the hill, but it just doesn't go as far. With every year of addiction, with every year of my sobriety, you know, that rock is still slowly creeping up that hill. The only difference is I'm getting stronger at holding that rock on that hill. And as I get stronger, it gets easier to push it inch by inch and get closer and closer to the top. I don't know when I will ever reach the top. I don't know when I will be able to push that boulder over the other side of the hill and have it roll down the other side. That way, my addiction is forgotten. Because I don't think our addictions can be forgotten. I don't think that that's something that's going to physically be capable of happening. It's just a simple fact that the further up the hill I go, the closer I get to being able to get away from my addiction becomes easier and easier. So whenever you're thinking of your addiction, I like to think of it that way because it makes it, it gives me something to work towards. It gives me something to think about, and it gives me something to actually work with. But a lot of people, you know, they push that rock up the hill, and then they come into a hard time, and it's so much easier and less stressful to let that rock roll back downhill and slide back into that addiction and all those bad habits than it is to push it up the hill and hold it there until you get enough strength to push it further up that hill. I do believe that that's a pretty decent analogy, I guess you could call it. But so, man, it really opened up my eyes that hearing that story and hearing of somebody who's had a couple years of sobriety just fall down again, and now their rock is back at the bottom, and they're going to go through all the shit that they already went through. Because what happens when we get back into our addiction? We think we can handle it. We think we know what we're doing. We think that it has no control over us because we've made it a couple years, and all the old habits, well, they're going to come back. They're going to come back for this person. What's going to happen is they're going to feel like they can control it. They feel like they got everything. They feel like they're hiding it. And eventually, when you lose control of the alcohol, because that's what happens to all of us, eventually you get to a point where everybody notices that you're drunk. Everybody sees it. All your old mannerisms come back. All your old attitudes come back. And it might take a year before anybody figures it out. But I'm telling you right now, if you continue down the path, that's the only outcome that's going to happen, because you don't have control over addiction. Addiction has control over you. You know, I've had a lot of people give up on me through my journey of drinking, right? And unfortunately for me, a lot of those people will never come back. A lot of those people will never. It doesn't matter. The good could outweigh the bad 1,000,000 to 1, and people are still going to remember me for the shit I've done. And that's the truth. And that's Jelly Roll. So that all being said, let's take a quick break so you can hear from my sponsor. Well, it's January 2024, everybody, and Slow Down Clothing is your one-stop shop for all things tattooed-inspired art and apparel. Whether you're a hardcore tattoo lover or just appreciate edgy, unique designs, we've got something for everyone. From stylish shirts and kids' tees to eye-catching embroidered hats with images on the bill. We're here to help you express your individuality with every piece worn. At Slow Down Clothing, we understand that fashion is more than just clothing. It's a lifestyle. That's why we offer a wide range of women's leggings that are as comfortable as they are fashionable. Looking to stay warm and stylish during the coldest months? Check out our collection of jackets, sweatshirts, and sweatpants that combine artistry with comfort. But we're not just apparel. We're all about the accessories too. Need gloves for shoveling, gardening, or any other outdoor activity? Look no further. Our gloves are designed to keep your hands protected while making a statement with unique and tattooed-inspired artwork. In addition to apparel, we also offer a selection of skateboards that feature bold, eye-catching designs. And if you're all about the details, don't miss our hat, sock, pin combo, the perfect way to add a touch of personality to everyday accessories. With so much to choose from, you're sure to find something that speaks to your individual style. Remember to visit us at slowdownclothing.bigcartel.com and use the promo code T-O-P-H-E-R before you check out for an extra 10% off your entire purchase. Slow down, express yourself, and embrace the art of fashion with Slow Down Clothing. And I'm back, everybody. All right, what's happening? How we doing? We're going to go over a few things real quick. We're going to do some Topher's topics. So right now, Grubhub is in a lawsuit. Yeah, so right now, Grubhub to return $3.5 million to Massachusetts restaurants for overcharge during the pandemic. Now, this has been happening relatively a lot with a lot of companies who took advantage of the lockdowns, price increases, and all of the things that they've been doing to, you know, take more money from us, charge us more. And with the inflation that everybody stood behind, because they were like, well, it's inflation, so we're all inflating because of inflation. Yeah, well, a lot of people took advantage of that, and now they're gonna have to pay some hefty fines.
to pay more than $3.5 million for overcharging Massachusetts restaurants during the pandemic. That settlement resolves a lawsuit brought in 2021 by the Massachusetts Attorney General's Office. A judge ruled in March of last year that Grubhub had overcharged restaurants in the midst of the pandemic, which violates Massachusetts' 15% fee cap. Attorney General Andrea Campbell released a statement saying in part, quote, Grubhub unlawfully overcharged and took advantage of restaurants during a public health emergency that devastated much of this industry. In addition to the $3.5 million to impacted businesses, Grubhub will also have to pay $125,000 to the Commonwealth.
To the Commonwealth. Oh, shit. So they're going to pay $3.5 million to the restaurants, and then they're going to have to pay $125,000 just to the Commonwealth of Massachusetts for ripping everybody off. Holy shit. Well, yeah, if you're only supposed to max 15% and you go over that 15% being state law. See, that's the interesting thing about this state-to-state stuff. You know, running multiple restaurants and having one in Massachusetts and one in Florida, you start to realize that how different the states are and like silly things that they get money for. Like Massachusetts, I don't know if anybody knows that, but if you want a TV in your restaurant, there's an entertainment license. You can have as many TVs as you want, but you have to pay the city of Massachusetts a fee for having those TVs every year because now you're entertaining people. In New Hampshire, that doesn't exist. In Florida, I'm a little unsure of the laws, but little things like that differ from state to state. So if your state has a cap and that company, you know, is dealing with multiple states that doesn't have a cap, did they miss it or did they just, I'm going to play it dumb. I'm going to play it dumb, everybody. I didn't know. 15%? Oh, I'm sorry. You know what I mean? But now they have to pay a hefty fine for this, and I'm glad they do. You know, I think DoorDash is also in a lawsuit. And then we got the dark side of Starbucks, who also took advantage of this. And I don't want to, again, these are fucking articles that don't allow me to read anything more than just the headline. But I'm hoping that my wife is part of this one because they Starbucks is accused of rigging payments in the app that you were all using for nearly $900 million gain over 5 years by a consumer watchdog group. Okay. So I'm going to put this in terms that I think are correct and we'll see if it plays out this way. Right. Cause I find this to be fun. So my wife uses the Starbucks app. She orders her coffee. She kept noticing increases in the coffee prices and over time, right? Over the last 5 years, she's been using this app a lot longer. I think a lot of you have. I don't use it. I make all my coffee at home, right? So I'm lame, but I have a really, really nice Ninja. The coffee maker is amazing. It does frothing. It does K-cups. It's like, I think it's like $200 on Amazon right now. Man, it is the greatest coffee maker I've ever had in the world. This Ninja is a massive upgrade to my other one. But anyways, so she's using the app. She's noticing price increases, but we just think it's inflation. We think it's what's happening, right? So we're just paying, we're paying, we're paying, we're paying. And then I read this article. Well, I read the headline and I dug through some of the article, and then I had to go searching for other places because they wouldn't let me read it, blah, 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 doing my due diligence in investigating this lawsuit. So they may have to pay every single individual money back because they weren't going along with inflation. They were not just having price increases because of everything that was going on in the world. They were literally doing it Because they wanted to. They made $900 million off of everybody. So if you feel like you were ripped off, I got the link in the description below. You can click it. I don't know if you can get into it, but you might be able to search it and you might be able to find the clickable link that puts you into the lawsuit. You may be able to get some money back. I don't know if this is, $900 million. I mean, how many people are they dividing this by, right? So I have no idea about that. But there is a link, and you can go into it, and you can put yourself, if you think that you have a playing part in this lawsuit, and you could possibly get some money back because they were ripping everybody off, and they didn't do it legally. They just took advantage of everything going around, and now they're being caught for it, right? People fucking screwed over people during the pandemic. They stole money. They embezzled money. They took funds they weren't supposed to, and they charged companies way too much. And then now over the last 5 years, Starbucks was doing the same thing under everybody's nose, just using everything going on in the world as the excuse. So this is going to keep happening. There are going to be more and more companies coming under the microscope because you took advantage of people and you took their money. And this is like the worst thing you can do to people today, because everybody is having such a hard time surviving and making it just to the next day to pay bills, to go to work, to get your car fixed. To do anything today is so difficult. Never mind not being able to find parts and everything else for your cars or being able to do certain things, but the money is just not there today. Nobody is making a decent living. We are all just surviving day to day. And it doesn't matter what level you're on, everybody feels the struggle and the pain of all of this. And it is just going to get worse because I'm telling you what I said earlier about us bombing Iran. What do you think that's going to do, right? What do you think that's going to do? And now with the new president in China being like, hey, we're really suggesting you go this way with this guy. And I think it was in Taiwan, you know, they just had a new president, and now there's critical things happening in China, and they're in an uproar about this new president and this new government or whatever in Taiwan. I may have this all almost incorrect, but I know something's going on there. China made a suggestion. They didn't follow the suggestion. So now there's more tension growing. So it just keeps happening right now. The tension is so high and everybody is like just ready to fire off a missile to somebody. You know, it's crazy. I don't know if this Israel thing is ever going to turn around. But the way that Africa is handling it, it's pretty good. They got a really good argument here. I don't know what the outcome's going to be, but I don't think it's going to be good. I don't think it's going to be good for Israel. I definitely know it wasn't good for Hamas. Do I think that what they were doing was right? No. But do I also think that this amount of people that had nothing to do with it needed to be dealt with in this way? No. It's really gross. It's really sad. And it doesn't make me very hopeful for the future, but hopefully something can be figured out. That way we all still have a future. That would be nice. That would be really nice. So the U.S. warns of using dating apps after suspicious death of 8 Americans in Colombia. What? So people are using a dating app and disappearing? It's crazy.
City's family is working to find answers. This after they say their loved one was kidnapped and killed in Colombia.
The tragedy is also sending shockwaves through the local Hmong community. Our Pauline Lee joins us live in the newsroom with what we know so far. Pauline?
It's definitely a devastating loss. Tu Jurjong was a well-known local artist as well as an activist. He founded Hmong Minnesota Day at the Minnesota State Fair in 2015, also won a number of awards for his work to close the racial divide. His family is calling his death indescribable. A local Colombian newspaper reported Zhang was taken while out on a date and the kidnappers demanded a ransom. It also says his body was found earlier this week on Monday. Born in Laos, he and his family fled to the United States after the Vietnam War. He also graduated valedictorian from Humboldt High School and received his degree from Carleton College. In a statement on social media, his brother says Zhang dedicated his life to building bridges across cultures, giving a voice to those who may not have one, and worked towards justice for all. Senator Amy Klobuchar also released a statement saying Tuju was an incredible person who was constantly working to uplift his community. She also adds her office is working to bring his body back to Minnesota. Now, as a tribute to Zhang, his brother says that the family will be creating a foundation in his name. His brother says channeling their grief into supporting a cause dear to his brother would be a fitting tribute to his legacy.
Holy shit.
That is wild.
That is wild. So they do not mention the dating app anywhere. It just says if you're using dating apps in Colombia, people should only meet in public places, avoiding isolated locations, and share details of your plans with a friend or family member for safety's sake. So, hey, look, people are, I think people are very stupid in America, honestly. Because we expect every country to just accept, you know, our ways. And when we go into another country, we have to accept that we have to follow their rules, right? And we have to be aware of what's going on in that country. Like, are you going to go to the Gaza Strip today? You're not. Why? Because it's a smart thing not to go there because it's being bombed. So the people that go to these places, like there's people that you can follow on Instagram and TikTok and stuff that go to these places that they heard were horrible places to be. And they're like, oh, no, this place is great. I'm walking around about the bridge and it's so beautiful. They keep telling me that it's so bad over here and dangerous and I don't understand. It's beautiful. You should all come. Hey, look. You got lucky, right? You went to a really bad place and you had a good time. Don't tell everybody to go there because it's not going to turn out the same for everybody else. This is what happens in other countries. This is why America is so great. This is why everybody wants to come here because these things are less likely to happen. So be mindful of where you are. Don't think that because you're an American and you're traveling, you get to follow American rules. You are in a different country as a traveler or you're not even a citizen. So why would you ever think that they're going to treat you a certain way? I think in Russia, an American just got some drug charges that could lead up to 20 some odd years in prison over there. What the fuck are you doing taking drugs into Russia? They are looking for us. They are going, hey, you're an American? What the fuck are you doing here? What are you doing wrong? Because I want to nail you to, let's just say, a cross. I'm going to put you in a fucking jail cell and your government's not going to do shit for you right now. That's what they're thinking. They're using us as pawns and tools and leverage. They're looking for us right now. Because America the Great, they want to see it as America the Fallen. So be careful wherever you're traveling, right? Don't be using apps and meeting people in, I don't know, dark places and meeting them alone, you know, or a secluded area. Like, I don't even sell stuff on Facebook Marketplace without making a public appearance, right? I go to a public parking lot. I let people know what's going on. Hey, I just sold this. I'm meeting the person here. I should be done and back home by this time. That's so easy to do. And then now that person goes, oh, okay. All right, sounds good. Should be home by this time. And if that time passes, I always tell her 15, 20 minutes max for traffic, stopping somewhere, whatever. After that, it's time to make a phone call. It's time to text. If you don't start hearing, then we got an issue. So I'm very aware, even in America, that these things can happen. But you should be taking any precaution in your life to make sure it doesn't happen, or at least so that somebody else knows what you're doing and where you are. We have this technology right at our fingertips. Let's take precautions when traveling the world, because the world does not act or think that America is great. They don't. They think we are fucking obnoxious assholes. But the one thing that they do like about us is that most of the time we've got money and we'll pay to get our loved ones back, and they will take advantage of that. And if they don't get what they want, they don't care if you wind up dead. So they don't get paid, you wind up dead, and then they find your body later. It's a cruel, sick world, but I just wish that people would understand how cruel and sick the world is. Revenge porn bill passes hurdle in Massachusetts House. So I think this is going to be a good thing because of the simple fact that when you record yourself with your significant other or a person that you're with, that's between you two. But when you break up, you should not be able to release this stuff, because once it goes up, it never comes down. And this ruins lives. People kill themselves because of this. And you should just never be sending nudie pictures of yourself to anyone, because this could be something that could happen. They'll use it against you. You don't want to be on those video sites. And I guess there's things on Snapchat and stuff like that where, like, you can video each other and, you know, they're doing sexy stuff, and maybe you're a male on the other side and you're masturbating, or you're a female on the other side and you're using your toys, and they are recording this. And then as soon as it's done, they go, "I recorded this. Now you have to pay me, or I'm putting it up on the internet." That is also revenge porn. So those things happen as well. You got to be very cautious of what you're doing today online. You really, really do. You got to think. What is this person's agenda? Why is this really hot foreign girl constantly messaging me? And how did I miss 4 phone calls from them? They don't even have my phone number. It's because they are baiting you for something. Their phone is broken and they need you to buy them a card to get minutes on their phone so that they can video chat you. That's all fake. Will you send me money? I'm abused. I'm homeless. Oh, I'm going to come and fly down and see you. It's all fake. That's not real. That person doesn't exist. It's not even a woman. You know, it could be some old dude sitting on his couch laughing just behind a keyboard in another country. So be mindful of what the fuck you're doing online and on your phone today.
Legislation that 25 Investigates has been following for you. State lawmakers in Massachusetts House passed a measure that would ban non-consensual pornography, sometimes called revenge porn. That's when people share explicit photos or video of someone without consent. Right now, Massachusetts is one of just 2 states without a ban. So the bill passed unanimously, 151 to 0 in the House.
Wow, unanimously.
If it reaches the governor's desk, anyone who knowingly distributes explicit visual material of another person, again, without consent, would be guilty of criminal harassment.
Good.
Punishment would include up to 2.5 years in jail or a big fine. State Rep. Michael Day says the ban is important for survivors who never intended for intimate photos or videos to be shared.
Wow. Imagine everyone listed on your phone receiving photos of you in your most intimate and vulnerable moment.
Children who distribute explicit content without consent would get diverted to an educational program unless prosecutors ask to press charges.
Yeah.
We all deserve the right to exercise control over our lives, our bodies, and our decisions.
And Representative Tram Nguyen said too often abusers turn to non-physical methods to harm victims. The bill would also add emotional abuse to the list of reasons someone can seek a restraining order. In order to get that bill to the governor's desk, it still needs to pass the Senate, and the Senate has not yet scheduled a vote as of today.
Well, I don't know why they wouldn't. I mean, if it's unanimous, then it's unanimous, right? I mean, Jesus Christ, 151-0. Good. Things like this need to happen. We need to have these things in place because the internet is a monster that's, you know, not regulated. And I love the internet because of that, but there's certain things that happen with this technology that need to have regulations, and we need to have things in place to keep people safe. And anybody who is taking nudie pictures of themselves that's under the age of whatever consent is in your state, that is child pornography. You do not want that on your record, right? It is the worst. I think one of the worst things is if you are, say, you're peeing in public and now you have to register as a sex offender, that is wrong. I think that's absolutely wrong. There should be an absolute 100% difference between indecent exposure and registering as a sex offender. It's insane that they're categorized the same way. Somebody who takes a piss out in public, most of the time, we got our backs turned, we find a corner, there's a bush, I don't know. I am not just taking my dick out and pissing in the middle of the common. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not in the middle of the street. I pull over, I find a corner, a dark spot, behind a dumpster, whatever. That should not be the same as you touching somebody or a child inappropriately. So even though we do have laws in place that are supposed to protect our children and people from being raped or sexually harassed, I do think that some of the laws that we have in place for silly things like taking a piss outside, they shouldn't be categorized as the same. You shouldn't get the same stigma when it happens. And you should have some way of protecting yourself from that. Because I'm sorry, I don't know how many times I've had to pee and there's no public bathroom and you have to make a decision. You either piss your pants or you piss over there on that rock right there and hope that nobody sees you, because then you're going to have to register as a sex offender, which is just so wrong. But this is a step in the right direction. We also need to get our AI under control, because it's going to be a wacky world when if we don't have anything in place when these things, I mean, they're crazy, right? It's all crazy to me, but we don't have enough legislation in place to keep it regulated right now, or to even keep it separated between AI and human. So we got some real work to do on all fronts of protecting us from the internet. We really do. We got a lot of work to do. But now the FDA is saying that drugs like Ozempic, Wegovy show no link with suicide, the FDA says. Now, okay, fine. You want to try and keep telling us that, I hate this, right? These pharmaceutical companies keep getting the option to sell their drugs, right? Because right now in the EU, they are doing a full diagnostic of Ozempic. They are doing their due diligence in their paperwork and their studies on whether or not this could cause people depression and suicidal and have other leading complications to your health because you're trying to lose weight or whatever this shit was originally designed for. What was it? Blood pressure or something? Something always is made for one thing and then people use it for another. I still think they're absolutely wrong about this. Will it cause you to suicide yourself? Okay, maybe not. Is it going to cause other complications in the future? Yeah, there's no quick fix to anything. So instead of just trying to bump this thing up and keep selling it by telling us that it's not going to cause you to commit suicide, I still think that's wrong. Let's find out what else it's going to do over time. Let's not just think that, oh, suicide's the worst thing. And if we just tell everybody it's not going to cause you to commit suicide, well, then we can keep selling it and everything will be fine. But what if it does cause suicide and now you're telling everybody it doesn't? And who believes the FDA today? Who believes them? I don't believe a fucking word they say. I don't believe anything. They're the ones that put regulations and made cigarettes okay. They're the ones that make everything okay. They're the ones that made sugar okay, the food pyramid, all of it. They're the ones that made OxyContin less addictive. It's them. They're the ones putting these labels on these bottles. They're the ones putting the rules in place. And they're the ones that always tell you the wrong information. This is just another thing that they want to push and make money from, and they're going to do it every way that they can because the FDA backs the pharmaceuticals, and nobody will back down from the pharmaceutical companies because they've lined too many pockets. So do I believe that this stuff will cause you to commit suicide? A little bit. Do I believe that the FDA has got this right? I do not. Do I believe that the EU is doing what they need to do to prove whether or not this stuff is going to cause complications in the future? I do believe that. They do so much better research than we ever will because they have no ties to the pharmaceutical companies that they are investigating. And that is the biggest denominator in all of it. When you have ties to these people, they will just keep taking advantage of everything that they can. Why do you think they're still pushing boosters today? Because somebody's still getting paid. Somebody. So this was crazy, guys. Everybody. This was crazy, everybody. So in Epping last night, there was oil tankers on fire. It was a 12 alarm, and that means 12 different districts or counties, whatever, all had to come and try and battle these tankers on fire. I think it was three of them, and it was in Epping, New Hampshire last night. Now, I'm recording on the 14th. It was the 13th that this happened of January, and I was like, oh my God, is that anywhere near my Epping location? And so I checked it, and where it happened was on Depot Road, I believe, and that is off of exit 6 on 101. And if you want to go to our amazing Epping location, if you want to go to our amazing Rap City in Epping, New Hampshire, it's off of exit 7 in the plaza there. But I was like, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. So I'm like looking into it and I'm like reading it and I'm like, oh my God, where is it? You know what I mean? I thought that I thought it was close to the store. I forgot Epping is also exit 6, but this was wild last night.
Ariel, at this point, we are still waiting to hear what the exact cause of this fire was, but we were there tonight and we saw just how intense it was firsthand. I even spoke with several firefighters who were there on scene, and even some of them said it was the biggest fire they'd ever seen. Burning bright orange flames engulfing part of a North Atlantic Fuels worksite in Epping for hours. Massive amounts of black smoke getting thicker by the minute as dozens of firefighters from several nearby communities worked together to put out the fire and the hazardous situation resulting from it. Crews say the first call for the five-alarm fire came in just before 4:30.
We have five vehicles that were involved in a fire, basically.
Five of them.
And we have a hazmat situation going on. We have a strike force from the state on its way in currently, coming in to basically boom off any runoff water and make sure that we contain the scene.
Three oil tankers and a tractor trailer torched, while firefighters used a called-in crash truck to spray 500 gallons of foam on the blaze. They say large amounts of oil started to leak from the trucks.
Basically, the fuel is...
Wait a minute. That's not the firefighter foam, is it? Remember the firefighter foam, everybody? That causes cancer? Hopefully that's not the same stuff. We're not using that shit anymore, right? Because, Jesus Christ. Hopefully it's a different foam. It's got to be a different foam.
Has to burn off. We've got one fuel oil truck that's burning heavily currently.
Brentwood, Chester, Exeter, Manchester, Loudoun, Dunbarton, Northwood, and Stratham. Just a few of the towns with fire, police, EMS, and safety crews on scene. Tonight, Jordan says the town of Epping and everyone involved is grateful for the mass amount of resources and teamwork used to contain the flames.
And I'd like to thank all of the surrounding communities for responding and assisting us in taking care of this.
And thankfully, we do know no one was hurt in this fire. As always, we will be following up with officials tonight as they continue their investigation into what started it.
Wild. Wild. So no knowing of what started the fire, how it happened. I'm sure we'll get more information, but my first initial thought was, oh my God, my Epping location. Is it anywhere near that? And it wasn't, which is good. So it's still standing. So go and check out Rap City in Epping, New Hampshire. All right. F of exit 7. But holy shit. You know, you read this stuff and like when it's close to home, you go, holy crap. It's right here. It's happening right here. It was absolutely crazy and I couldn't believe it. It turned out to be a 12 alarm fire, I do believe was the last article I read before I went to bed last night, but wild, wild shit. I can't wait. Like it's not that I can't wait. I just, you know, what caused it? Was it a combustion? Was it somebody throwing a cigarette? Was it somebody vandalizing? Cause that's a lot of vandalism. That's a lot of vandalism if somebody did that on purpose. So absolutely wild, everybody. And, you know, I just really do hope everybody out there stays safe. Keep doing everything you need to do to stay sober. Talk to people. Put it out there. Remember, lying leads back to drinking. All the initial things that happen to somebody, you know, those true tales, you know, the lying, the sneaking around, the pulling back. All of those things are causes to lead us back into our addictions. So if you're seeing these things in people that you know that could be slipping, they may just need a shoulder to lean on or someone to talk to. But other times, we have absolutely no control over other people. They are in control of what they're going to do. They're going to do what they want to do. We can't force them into anything. You have to be mindful of that. It does hurt and it's painful, but it's true. So just be there, be supportive. And of course, if you can't support them anymore, I completely understand because I know there was plenty of people in my life that couldn't support my addictions anymore. So it does happen. But on that note, everybody, I want to say thank you to all of my subscribers again. Thank you to all the new subscribers as always. And of course, if you're new, popping by, checking out the pod, then hit that subscribe button. All right. It's free for you. So please do it. It really does help the podcast grow. And I need all the help I can get right now. So click that subscribe button. And then of course, if you want to be a guest on the podcast, or maybe you just need to tell your story, or maybe there's a story out there that needs to be heard, TALKIN with Topher at gmail.com. That's the official email of the podcast. Go ahead and send an audio, video, or type it out, but send it on over to TALKIN with Topher at gmail.com. Of course, the Linktree links right here. So go into the description below the video, copy that, share it. It's the easiest way to share the podcast and help me make it bigger. And then, of course, if you want more TWT, you will get access to everything through the Linktree. It's just that easy. Go follow and subscribe. And as always, I hope everybody out there has an amazing rest of your Thursday. I hope you enjoy your weekend. And as always, I will talk to you later. The good could outweigh the bad 1,000,000 to 1, and people are still going to remember me for the shit I've done. And that's the truth. And that's Jelly Roll. And I want to give a big shout out to Jelly Roll. I would love for you to come on my podcast. I'm going to put this out there. I know this is kind of silly, but I mean, his music is absolutely inspirational to me. I listen to so many of his tracks, and I'm sure I'm not the only one out there. Jelly Roll, I want you to come on my podcast. I'm here in New Hampshire. I would love to have you come on. Your music has kept me sober. Your music has kept millions of people sober. The journey you've gone through and the stories that you tell in your music have helped millions and millions of people out there. And I am one of them. And I would love to sit down with you, but I know you're a very busy person. You have a very busy schedule. So I completely and absolutely understand if it never happens, but you know what they say, shoot for the moon, hit the stars, crap. That's what we're talking about today. So I'm shooting for the moon right now. And if anybody else sees this, share it with them, tag them in it, and let's see if we can make this happen. I think it would be absolutely amazing. I have never been touched by somebody's music as much as Jelly Roll's. It's like every track tells my story, and it's absolutely amazing.